Perhaps you'd like to turn to the first epistle of John and the first chapter, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and is with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Last time I spoke on a Wednesday evening was a couple of months ago, and we looked at the first four verses of this chapter. The theme of those four verses was life, life that is real. And we noted that this life is revealed in Jesus Christ, God's Son. This life is experienced by the believer, and this life is shared. It says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. And once we have experienced this exciting life that is real, we will want to share it with other people, just as John wanted to proclaim it to all his readers in the first century. I had intended tonight to preach on the remaining six verses, but I decided that was too much. So we'll just be looking at verses 5 to 7, in which the central theme is light. So first of all, in verse 5, we have God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What does John mean when he says God is light? Well, one answer could certainly be that God is truth. Because in verse 6 he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. He might have said, we do not live according to the light. But here he puts truth in the place of light. So it seems that truth is virtually the same as light. In other words, God is light means that God is the source and measure of all that is true. And another way to put it would be that nothing can be truly understood until it is understood in the light of God. This is why it says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A problem with our secular society is that it does leave God out of the equation, and as such it can only offer a mirage of hope in this wasteland of our current culture. God is light, that is, God is truth. He is the source of all that is true, and whatever is true because it conforms to him. But John did choose the word light, not truth, in verse 5. And I think he chose that because it carries a positive connotation that the word truth might not always carry. For some readers, the word truth might leave open the possibility that the truth of God is perhaps a dark truth, a foreboding truth, a truth that's not inviting. Whereas light, John chooses the word light because it promises that the truth of God is a truth that's full of hope and joy. What is the main value of light? Well, looking at it negatively, it helps you avoid danger. But positively, it helps you reach what you're looking for, what you're after. When you walk in the darkness, you might stumble over a log, or fall off a cliff, or hit your head on a low-hanging branch. Darkness is full of threat. It frustrates our ability to obtain our goal. But light changes all that. It exposes danger and frees you up from lurking power. It opens the way to our goal. It's full of hope and promises that we can gladly attain our goal. And the first picture of God that John wants to put before us is this picture of God as light. And he says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. It means that if you draw near to God, you won't find anything dark or foreboding. You will find freedom and hope and joy. Our ultimate goal of eternal joy is secured in God, because there is no darkness in God. That is, there's no lurking shadows. There's no hidden agenda. No small print. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no small print that qualifies the brightness of his glory. There are absolutely no regrets for those who come to God with all their hearts. He is all light. He is the pathway to perfect and eternal joy, with no disappointments. In the light of God, you will not be destroyed by that enemy, sin. You will not fall over the cliff into hell. Light is the promise of hope and joy. Darkness is the threat of despair and misery. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is the message that John heard from Jesus. Jesus came into the world to reveal it. It's the foundational message of this epistle. So next, in verses 6 and 7, John draws out a practical application of God being light. In verse 6, first, he gives the negative side of the application. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So what does it mean to walk in the darkness? We get some a really clear indication from the next chapter, from verses 8 to 11. Where John writes, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
It says that he who hates his brother is in the darkness, and he who loves his brother abides in the light. Walking in the light means being a loving person, and walking in the darkness means being a person of hate.
But there's something a little more basic than that. At the end of chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." What is this darkness that is passing away? Well, he uses the same word later on in chapter 2, verse 17, when he says, "The world is passing away, and the desire of it." From this, I think we can conclude that walking in darkness means being controlled by desires for this world instead of desires for God. Everyone who loves the world more than God is in the dark, only it's a willful darkness, because as John said in his Gospel 3 verse 19, the chapter, "The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So, walking in the light. Verse 7 gives the positive side of the application of verse 5. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Walking in the light is the opposite of walking in darkness. It means seeing the reality for what it is and being controlled by desires that accord with God's light. If God is light and in him is no darkness at all, then he is the bright pathway to the fulfillment of all our deepest longings. He is the deliverer from all dark dangers and obstacles to joy. He is the infinitely desirable one. If in his own light he shines forth as a being of infinite worth, then he is a star of glory that we were made to admire and cherish. If God opens the eyes of our hearts to see that, then our desires are captured by the surpassing glory of God over everything that the world has to offer, and we walk in the light as he is in the light. According to verse 7, two things accompany walking in the light. He says that if we walk in the light, then firstly, we have fellowship with one another. And secondly, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So when he says we have fellowship with one another, who does he mean by that? It could mean fellowship with between God and us. It could also mean between one another, i.e. fellow Christians. And I think it means both. We have fellowship both with God and with each other. Verse 7 teaches us that the only way to preserve the precious jewel of deep unity with God and with other believers is to walk in the light, to see things in the light of God, to let God be your bright pathway to joy. And then he says that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. John makes a connection here between the way we walk and the effectiveness of the blood of Christ to cleanse us of sin. So this raises three questions. What is the walk? What does it mean to be cleansed from all by the blood of Jesus? From all sin by the blood of Jesus? And thirdly, what is the connection between the two? Well, what is the walk? We've already looked at that. Walking in the light means living under the controlling desire for God instead of the world. What does it mean to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus from all our sin? Does it mean that as we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus keeps us from sinning? Or does it mean that as we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus covers and nullifies our sinning? In other words, does it refer to our sanctification or to the ongoing experience of justification? It seems that there is good reason for saying that it refers to both. It refers to the justifying effect of Christ's shed blood, blotting out all our sins and giving us acquittal and eternal acceptance with God. And it also refers to the moral power of the blood of Jesus to help us conquer temptation, so that in the end, all of our sin will actually be overcome and we will stand pure and sinless before God. So what is the connection between the two? John connects them with if, then. If we walk in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. John does not spell out at this point how walking in the light and being cleansed from sin are related in reality. He's content for now to say that there is no cleansing of sin for the person who does not walk in the light. But that doesn't answer the question which comes first or which causes the other. What it does establish is that there is a way of life in which the cleansing effect of Christ's blood operates, and there is a way of life in which the cleansing effect of Christ's blood does not operate. If we are not walking in the light, we have no warrant for believing that our sins are covered. There's no assurance of salvation while you live in disobedience. So, how is this teaching of 1 John that we must walk in the light good news? Some people think that the only way to make the gospel really good news is to deny that changes are necessary in our lives. They say that that takes away the possibility of assurance of salvation. They say that the way we live after putting our faith in Christ has nothing to do with salvation. However, that isn't what the passage we have just read tells us. The answer is that a powerless gospel is not good news. A gospel that only wins lip service is no different from all the other philosophies of the world. Mm-hmm. Such a gospel produces a Christianity that's just a game of words, and it encourages lukewarm churchgoers that feel safe from God's wrath because of some idea of that mental assent is all it's needed to love God. Amen. Mm-hmm.